Hi, it's Stu Zimmerman with Inside Wealth, merging your self-worth with your net worth right here on Talk 910 KNEW San Francisco. We're here with Azeem Jamal. He's known as the Corporate Sufi, who's a management consultant literally around the world, an executive coach. And he's been taking this unique and thought-provoking message of spiritual abundance and material abundance and really merging the two. And how does that play around the world? Is this something that is more accessible in other countries than it is here, perhaps, Azeem?
I don't think so. You know, the more you travel, the more you realize that the essence of people is the same, right? I mean, of course, there are different cultures, different styles, different backgrounds. But at the end of the day, you know, we are all human beings, and we have a deeper desire inside us to create positive change, you know, and that's why that's something that's inherent in all human beings. And I think that's the connector between all people.
And are you finding that even here in the States or in North America, that this notion of spiritual abundance and happiness combined with that heart-centered or principle-centered mindset is something that people are open to and are actively wanting to make greater strides in?
I mean, absolutely. I think, you know, there's many. I mean, even the book, The Firms of Endearment, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but they, in their research, I did a little bit about 30 corporations, and they identified that 30 corporations did 8 times better than the S&P 500 index for the 10 years ending June 30, 2006. And if you look at what these firms of endearment were about, the core principles were humanistic principles, you know, which had at the center something more than just material, right? And I think, you know, every human being, you know, is hardwired inside them to be able to give, create change. And when you're able to ignite that spark within them, there's much more impact and much more potential to do better in their lives because they're able to tap into their genius inside them.
So then when we're talking about this genius inside them and we're talking about this sense of abundance from within, how is that being, you know, how is that being brought forth through a company? Is it in their culture? Is it in a philanthropy policy? What are you seeing in terms of the ways in which this can be grounded, communicated, and put into action?
I think many times it starts with a leader in the company, but, you know, it's a culture that is created within the company, but everybody feels that way. I mean, there are many examples. If you look at, you know, Enterprise Rent-A-Car, for example, started many years ago as a private company. I think it's still a private company, and it's you know, it went from a small business to a $9 billion worth. And if you look at, you know, some of the things they do, the 8 things that they have as their motto or something, if you look at it, well, it's all about giving something, right? Listening to your customer, making sure they talk about the big difference between being satisfied and a completely satisfied customer. When a customer is completely satisfied, there's a different kind of energy, different kind of impact, different kind of, you know, word of mouth, et cetera, that triggers in. So when 9/11 happened, for example, Enterprise Rent-A-Car gave away 5,000 cars to people who were stuck, and they didn't get the car back for months on end. But they did it because it was in their, you know, in their culture to give and make a difference and show to the people that we care. Yes, profit is very important, but ultimately, when you start showing that you care, you get it back one way or the other. I mean, if you look at Starbucks, I mean, I know right recently they're struggling in Seattle and selling coffee for a buck, but generally their success, if you look at it, is creating a good experience for the customer. The employees are more like partners. You know, if somebody is waiting outside and their store is not opened yet because the guy is early or a girl is early, they'll open the store to just let the customer in because they believe in, you know, in being flexible and allowing the customer to feel important. And all these things are part of many, many companies who have realized that, you know, it's when you start giving and creating that culture that you create an environment where people thrive and excel.
Again, we're here with Azeem Jamal. And so, Azeem, what do you think? I mean, you think we're at a crossroads here, you know, because it does seem that there has been a legacy of business where it's all about the numbers. And you know that as an accountant better than anybody. And we are amassing more and more information and data to support this notion of a vibrant culture, one of giving, one of caring, dedication to excellence of service, having a direct correlation to sustainable profitability
and outperforming peer groups and market share and all the rest. What do you think? I mean, do you think there's a possibility here that we could actually be taking through business, having business actually lead society in many ways to be a more giving, open-hearted? And this would be really ironic given the fact they're all about money in the first place, ostensibly. But that they can actually help to lead society to be more, you know, a culture of giving.
I think it's a great question, Stu. And I, you know, one of my principles in corporate Sufi is really that I believe that corporations have the muscles, they have the power, they have the ability to create positive change. And so if they take, they become proactive and they become active in the whole area of wanting to make that change, yes, I mean, bottom line is profits. You can never, you know, without making profits, you can't help anybody. And that's why I marry corporate and Sufi, because a Sufi can learn from a corporate person. The Sufi is too laid back, you know, he's in meditation and more spiritual, but forgets about the corporate world, and he's too extreme in one way. And a corporate person is too extreme in the other way. But each can learn from the other, and if when they combine the two, what you have is somebody who's going to be able to sustain success, make be profitable, and then use that profit to create positive change. So I think this whole idea has a lot of merit. You know, it makes sense. People are wanting more than just outside, you know, external success. If you look at even Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, to a large extent, I mean, once they've made the money, now they're looking for something different, and that's where the foundation comes and the giving back comes. Because at the end, when you pass away from this world, you can't take anything with you. And so I think more and more people are realizing that, you know, that the real power is not outside you. The real power is inside you. I mean, external power is limited. Internal power is unlimited. You know, external power, somebody can take it away from you. Internal power is yours to keep, right? So the real power is not outside. The real power is inside.
I couldn't agree with you more, Azeem, and that's what Inside Wealth is all about. We're saying the same thing, wealth, power. You can almost use the words interchangeably because you can have, as you pointed out with your quote, success without happiness is failure, that, you know, wealth is not a number. Mm-hmm. Wealth is something on the inside, just like power, as you talked about. It's really something from the inside. I want to drill down a little further on something you just said, however. Well, you know, when you talked about how, you know, if people like Gates and Buffett, who now, after having amassed billions of dollars of personal financial wealth, are becoming more aware of philanthropy and giving. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if there is actually needs to be this chicken and egg type of sequence where can't corporate profitability actually be empowered hand in hand with this culture of giving or vibrancy, and that it's not so much that they need to wait until they make their fortune to go out and be giving?
Yeah, I think, you know, it can be, because ultimately it's a process you want to enjoy, right? I mean, life is a journey to be savored. It's not a destiny to reach. Happiness is also a journey. You know, it's not something that you, if you're waiting to be happy, you'll wait, you know, till the cows come home, right? I mean, the idea is that you have to enjoy the journey, and when you're doing as you're going along, you find that there is a creation of energy that brings you more abundance. The more you give, the more you have. The more you give, the more you create. The more you give, the more you innovate. The more you give, the more you find. The more you give, the more you receive. I mean, the idea is, you know, it's like if you have a closed fist, you can't receive anything. When you open your fist and give, you're also able to receive, right? So I think, yeah, I mean, the beauty would be to keep giving while you're going. I mean, and giving is not just money. Giving could be your time, could be your knowledge, could be your wisdom, could be your skills, could be your compassion. There are many ways of giving, you know, and time is one of it, and knowledge is another. And, of course, wealth is one more. So there are many ways one can give. And so one is not limited to give if you are, for some reason, not financially, you know, abundant right now. But there are many other things you could give which could be as important as money or even more important to some degree.
Again, with Azeem Jamal, and he actually wrote a book called The Gift of Giving.
Yeah, we got The Power of Giving, yes.
The Power of Giving, Power of Giving. And we are talking about this power, and as you mentioned, it does show up in many forms. Mm-hmm. And it can be time. It can be wisdom. It can be all talents. It can be all kinds of things, not necessarily money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm just kind of wondering here, you know, what are your thoughts in terms of taking this giving and receiving, which is really what you're talking about, and, you know, how can we instill a greater sense of that, even as people think, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough. I'm constantly on the go trying to keep ahead. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, you know, you call people in business and I got a minute and a half and I'm late, mm-hmm. you know, and people aren't, you know, multitasking and you can't even focus half the time mm-hmm. because the to-do list seems to be so, you know, above their scalp line.
Yeah, I think it's a great question, and it's a practical question when people are struggling with many, many demands, family demands, professional demands, you know, social demands, and how do you keep up? Yes, I know I give a tip in my book, The Corporate Sufi, where I say, instead of having a to-do list, start doing an undoing list, right? You know, I mean, undo the things that are not important in your life, and I think giving cannot be undone, because giving is something that your desire from within to create happiness for you, to create meaning for you, to create impact for you. If you look at a cow, for example, you know, a cow, when he stops giving milk, can't get more milk. A sheep, which stops giving wool, can't get more wool. A tree, which is a fruit and nobody takes it, it falls down and rots. A river, which stops flowing, stagnates. So when you stop giving, you stop creating, period, right? So if you want to create, if you want to tap into your genius, if you want to tap into your power, keep giving, because that's what starts the whole process rolling and creates meaning for your life.
If we were to take it a step further, Azeem, is it your thought, it may be mine actually, that the reason underlying this this principle of giving and receiving is that we're ultimately one humanity. Mm-hmm. We're ultimately one form of perhaps something that you may call infinite or greater than all of us. Mm-hmm. And so that truly is our ultimate nature. Mm-hmm. And it's only through our conditioning and what we've been taught in terms of dog eat dog, mm-hmm. or in terms of success being can't be too rich or too thin, mm-hmm. that those are the things that lead us not to give.
Mm, yeah, I mean, you know, Rumi, one of my favorite Sufi masters, says that we are all fellow travelers in the journey of life, and we are all facing the same seasons of life. And, you know, basically what you said in different words is that, you know, we are all fellow travelers, so we are all facing the same seasons, seasons of hardship, of joy, of victory, of defeat. And when we look at this oneness that we all have, you know, we begin to feel happy for the success of others. You know, we feel pain for the pain of others. That's a real unity. That's real oneness. And that creates some kind of energy, some kind of liberation that really sets you apart. And again, the whole idea of abundant mentality, the more, there's enough for everybody. You know, it's the ocean out there. But when you have a scarcity mentality, you always feel, if I give something, I'm short of something. But that is really not the case.
So your sense is this whole notion of the scarcity notion of there not being enough, on a deep, profound level, is absolutely a myth.
Yes, yes. You know, and Stu, one of the things I also, it's part of my main mission in life is to really help people open their birthday gift, the gift they were born with, shine their light, and make a difference. The more people open their birthday gift, what they're born with, and many people don't because they don't know what it is, they never find it, and unfortunately they die with the music buried inside them, right? So helping people open their birthday gift, what their real nature, inherent gift is, using that to shine their light, we can create a better world around us.
Well, Azeem, I couldn't agree with you more, and I really thank you for all the work you're doing in the world, all over the world for that matter, because I know it's going to all serve to just bring us closer together. And for our perception here, the greatest wealth is really when we all have it and we all know it in our heart. And I just want to have a final question for you before we let you go. And,
sure.
that's, what's your vision for what our world could possibly be?
Ah, great question. You know, in terms of how the world could be, I think, you know, coming back to what I said a bit earlier about, you know, that people are opening their birthday gift. We all have a gift that we are born with, and everybody is opening their birthday gift, so they're enjoying what they're doing because they're touching their inner core. And with that gift, which comes so naturally, so effortlessly, they are using it to help their fellow brothers and sisters. To me, that would be a fantastic vision to have.
My grandmother, God bless her, she's 97. She says, every day is my birthday. Mm-hmm. That's a gift to wake up in the morning. And to that extent, you're saying that each of us has a birthday gift. Just really strikes home with me and our family and everything. Azeem, I want to wish you the absolute best of luck and success in all you do out there. And thank you for doing your best to help people see that essence within them and merge the spiritual and material abundance. Because why settle for anything less?
Thank you. And you keep up the wonderful work you're doing.
My pleasure. It's my joy to do so, and I will. Azeem, thank you so much. Welcome to the movement that takes your wealth to the next level. Beyond the surface of money to the service of money, where you get provocative commentary and lively conversation about inside wealth, right here on Talk 910 KNEW.